This week on Three Sides of the Coin, we dig into another box of Kiss crap and we find some blow-up stuff. It's Mark's, not mine. And a crap load of VHS tapes. Which Kiss VHS tapes do we find? Some, I can tell you there's some original VHS tapes going way back that probably cost me $80 to buy them brand new. And I know there's a whole nother box of VHS tapes yet to explore.
Visit threesidesofthecoin.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate it.
Three Sides of the Coin. Talking all things Kiss.
I want to rock and roll all night.
You're listening to Three Sides.
Are you looking for official Three Sides of the Coin merchandise? T-shirts, hoodies, and more? Visit shop3sidesofthecoin.com. We ship worldwide.
Hey, Three Sides of the Coin. You got Mike, you got Tommy, and I swear to God, we tried for 40 minutes to get Mark connected.
That's no shit.
And Mark will tell you he was connected and could see us and could hear everything we said. But his mic was on mute and he had no video in our Zoom call. So,
wait a minute. But that's not really that bad of a thing. We should have just left him on. He couldn't really participate, but he's here in spirit.
Yeah, but then he would have gotten extra cranky. But then again, we wouldn't have to listen to him get cranky. Yeah,
that's Liz's problem.
So anyway, we tried 40 minutes, didn't work. And listen, we've got enough experience to know that Mark trying to get connected for 40 minutes doesn't make a happy Mark. So we just said, no, we'll record without you and we'll figure it out later. So you got Mike, you got Tommy this week. We are going to open up another box of Kiss crap, but Tommy, I wanted to make a quick observation, and you may not have seen this. I just posted it yesterday on our Three Sides socials. The pop star JoJo Siwa, who I've talked about in the past because I've taken Thule to her.
Yeah.
Well, JoJo Siwa, two nights ago at the iHeart Music Awards, unveiled her new image. And for those of you who don't know, JoJo Siwa is a pop star. I would say like equivalent to what Britney Spears was when Britney Spears first was out as a young kid. JoJo Siwa appealed to not even teen girls, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year old girls. Very sugar pop, lots of color, lots of glam. And I said in the past when I went and saw her in concert with Thule, clearly JoJo is influenced by 70s glam rock because her mic was just like Freddie Mercury's mic where it's got the half stand.
Yep.
And in the middle of her show, she does a medley of Queen and Elton John songs. Of course, all the little girls are like, no idea who really sings those songs. I mean, I remember Thule's like, oh, she's the one who sings Crocodile Rock. I'm like, no, she's not the one that sings Crocodile Rock. Elton John is. But I thought it was great because that's how you introduce young kids to the originals. You get them hooked on an artist who's influenced and maybe covers it. And then you start looking at where those songs really came from. And I've always suspected that JoJo Siwa was probably influenced by Kiss as well. Or let's put it this way. Her parents probably were, and her parents' influence on JoJo Siwa was the impact. Because I've seen photos where JoJo would have a very glittery star over her eye and stuff like that. Well, anyway, and we'll put a photo up here for everybody to see. She came out at the iHeart Music Awards in a very black and silver heavy metal style outfit now. Combat boots, cut out fishnet, black tight clothes, and makeup that was a very resembling a cross between Alice Cooper and Gene Simmons. All black, all silver, a very dramatic change from her sugar pop look of years ago. But again, she's no longer a kid. She's growing up and she's maturing and she wants to be something that she enjoys. And I'm all for that. But what I wanted to make an observation about was, because I shared the photo and I said, I always suspected she was a Kiss fan. And then today, Loudwire magazine had an article where Gene Simmons made a statement about it, because initially fans were like, oh my God, she's going to get sued for that makeup, blah, blah, blah. And Gene was like, oh, it's great. Be who you are. Do what you want to do. Shake it up. Whatever. Nice. He was all fine with it. But my observation was, when the hell did some Kiss fans, and I'm not saying all, I'm not even majority, when the hell did some Kiss fans become the judgmental people who in the 70s looked down on Kiss? Meaning, when Kiss was around in the 70s, there was always people who were like, oh my God, look at that crazy makeup. Oh my God, look at the crazy clothes. Oh my God, you know, they look, they're crazy. Oh, they're just, Kiss was stealing this from Alice Cooper. Oh, Kiss was stealing this from Slade. Kiss, you know, whatever. I mean, all of a sudden there's some Kiss fans going, oh my God, JoJo Siwa, she's not original. And I'm like, but Kiss wasn't original.
And to kids of her fans' age, she is.
She's original, but you know, you're criticizing her for being outlandish and crazy when Kiss 50 years ago was being criticized by people just like you, not you yourself, but just like you 50 years ago were saying, look at Kiss, they're outlandish, they're crazy, they're just copying everybody else. There's nothing there. It's just like, when, I don't know, it seemed to me a Kiss fan is the last person I would expect to criticize outlandish, crazy, off the wall, shock the people imagery. And no, now we've got Kiss fans who are like, you got Kiss fans who are, you know, and these are probably 50, 60 year old Kiss fans who are like, ugh, she's demonic. She's demonic. One person was like, she's demonic. I'm like, you're on a Kiss board. One of the characters in Kiss is nicknamed the Demon.
Yeah, wait.
In the 70s, Kiss, Gene Simmons literally was thought to be demonic for spitting blood and breathing fire. What happened here? When did Kiss fans become so judgmental of things that Kiss had done themselves back in the 70s?
Well, I agree, but it's no different than some of these people who, you know, Greta Van Fleet comes out and everyone's like, it's just a Zeppelin ripoff. No, it's not. So are you saying that all of the bands that we've loved, we can't love because they were influenced by the Beatles or T-Rex or Alice Cooper or the Rolling Stones or whomever? You know, the way I look at it is I'm not all that interested in Greta Van Fleet. But for the younger people who...
If you like it, God bless you.
And it's rock and roll. If for once it's not rap or hip-hop or pop or whatever has been dominating the charts for the last 20 years, here's a rock and roll band that people are showing up in large groups to see. This is a good thing. It's not bad. I just think that people, as they get older sometimes, they get so much more critical. Things just get weird.
Yeah, that's just, you know, and we've talked about this in the past, how, especially if you're a Kiss fan of our age, when you grew up during the 70s and into the early 80s, we took a lot of flack for loving Kiss, a lot of hate towards Kiss. But it wasn't from Kiss fans, it was from other fans. And we've talked about how 50 years later, what happened that all of a sudden it's Kiss fans who are giving the hate? It's not, you know, I'm not getting hate from Led Zeppelin fans or Deep Purple fans anymore. I'm getting hate from Kiss fans.
Right.
What? I mean, did some of these fans just grow up and become too old and set in their ways that they forgot what they were like when they were kids growing up loving Kiss? I mean, that must be it. Yes. They just forgot what it was like 40 years ago when you were a Kiss fan in the 70s. And what people would, if people said about KISS, what they're saying about JoJo Siwa now, the KISS army would be, F you, get the hell out of here. You're old. You're a suit. You don't belong here. Go listen to Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Barry Manilow, because I listen to Barry Manilow. But,
Barry rocks.
You know, I mean, I just feel like some of these fans are just, they forgot what it was like to be a KISS fan. They forgot what it was like when KISS wasn't accepted by every, I mean, remember, today, KISS is safe. Stakroom, Disney, accepted by everybody. Nobody's offended by KISS anymore.
But don't you think that also we're all guilty of it to a certain degree, not necessarily in this particular example, but just forgetting what it was like to be young? I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I've been buying records and CDs, and it's just opened up a whole new window of interest for me. And it's not just the music I haven't listened to in forever. It's the connection with the music and those deep tracks and all those things. And it takes me back. Like, I put on Permanent Waves the other day for the first time in many, many years. It took me right back to high school playing football or hanging out in our front yard, blasting that from my room. And we're all just kind of like hanging out and throwing the football around and just, you know, because it was before cell phones. I'd forgotten about some of that. And I just think that you get comfortable and you get complacent. And as you age, you forget. And I think sometimes people do it without even thinking about it. I almost wonder if some of the people that are complaining about this artist are just doing it because they're on autopilot. It has less to do with the artist and more to just like, oh, here's something I can complain about. Because they're in such a negative state.
It could be, but you know, at the same time, there were also KISS fans going, hey, I don't know who she is, but she's got great taste.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. I mean, you know, you don't have, I guess part of it is you don't have to even know who JoJo Siwa is. You surely don't have to be a fan, but here's somebody who in 2024 is doing something that's pretty different from everybody else that's out there. And she's showing the clear influence our bands, not just KISS, but KISS, Queen, Elton John, our bands of the 70s had on her and what they mean to her. I don't know. I like, that's fucking great. I love that, because Am I going to be a huge JoJo Siwa fan because of this? Of course not. But if her doing this, as I said just earlier, gets some of her young teenage fans to go, why are these people talking about her and Gene Simmons? Who's, you know, and then they look at Gene Simmons and then they maybe listen to a KISS song and maybe they have, that's their introduction or their appreciation of it. Great. That's how it works in my mind.
Well, and Gene said, here's a direct quote, never be ordinary, always be extraordinary. JoJo is extraordinary and she looks cool. Of course, she looks like me, but that's another story. So he doesn't have a problem with it. And she does, but she really doesn't. I mean, you know, she's got makeup on her face. It's a very, very drastic look compared to what she was doing.
It's almost got more of an Alice Cooper look to the black makeup, the way the single spike comes down under the out of, below each eye.
Right.
It's definitely a Gene Simmons meets Alice Cooper. It's not a direct rip of any one person, but you look at that and you go, dude, there's some serious 70s influence going on here.
Oh, totally. And there's nothing wrong with it, because if it gets the new kids into vinyl and into rock and roll and into Judas Priest, you never know where this could go.
No, exactly. I mean, there's nothing wrong that somebody like JoJo Siwa doesn't come right out. And I don't think she's ever come right out and said she's a KISS fan or Alice Cooper or Queen or Elton John fan. But if you pay attention to her, especially if you see her in concert, I mean, again, it was like slap across my face going, oh, dude, I'm seeing Elton John and Freddie Mercury all over this stage. These 5 and 6 year old girls aren't, because they probably don't have a clue who those guys are. But I'm sitting here as, you know, a 50 year old dad going, yeah, thumbs up to you, JoJo. I can see what you're bringing to this show.
Right. Well, and I bet you that if any of us knew the material better or took the time to watch like different kids shows, you're going to see a lot of returning themes from the shows we watched when we were kids. So maybe H.R. Puff and stuff is no longer that real physical person in an outfit, and now that is transformed into an avatar, or it's transformed into just a cartoon. But you're going to find a lot of similarities. Like if you look at Matlock, the TV show, you know, with Andy Griffith,
yep,
and then you look back at Perry Mason, the original Perry Mason show, there are so many direct ripoff storylines between the, you know, from Perry Mason to Matlock. Everything is recycled to a certain degree, but the people that were watching Matlock, a lot of them were too young to even know who Perry Mason was, let alone Ironside.
I know, right.
So this is the same thing.
Exactly. It's the same thing. So, I mean, first of all, thumbs up for me for what JoJo Siwa is doing. Again, I will check out her new music. She's got a new song. By the time you're watching this, I think she's got a new song called Karma that'll be out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's great. I, you know, anything that I can sit here and go, yeah, my bands, Kiss, Elton John, Alice Cooper, you know, Queen, have a little bit of a hook in something new, I love it. I absolutely love it. It keeps them alive and it keeps their music happening. It was just like one of those moments where I'm like, when did some of these Kiss fans become the people who in the 70s were criticizing Kiss using almost, I bet you, the exact same terminology. Oh, look at that crazy makeup. That clothes she's wearing. I mean, there's nothing original there. You think people were saying Kiss was original in the 70s? Kiss was a ripoff of the New York Dolls. Kiss was a ripoff of Alice Cooper. Kiss was a ripoff of anything coming out of Europe and the glam scene. I mean, we've talked about this in depth many episodes.
Oh, God, yeah. And Kiss all of the bands that
Kiss,
ripped off.
Kiss might be original in what they ended up with, but they sure took a lot from other bands. And listen, Kiss isn't the only band that's ever done that. Every band takes influence from who they grew up listening to.
And you would too. You know, if I was going to be in a band and I wanted to start performing songs, the first thing I would do is go to the music I love and the bands I love and start there. And then you work on something else later.
You might look at their concert videos and how do I act on stage as a lead singer? Well, you know, Freddie Mercury used to do this all the time, and God, that looks so cool when he did that. So I'm gonna do my own take on that. And oh, you know, Gene Simmons does this, or Elton John does that, or Alice Cooper does. You take, and then you grow it into what you want it to be for yourself, adding your own twist to it. But nothing's really original anymore, or ever, frankly. I mean, you know, there's only so many notes, period, that you can write a song with.
Right.
You know, how many times do you go, oh, I kind of heard that riff before? Well, yeah, you probably have heard that riff before. Well, it's now just used backwards instead of forwards. You know, it's
perfect example is listen to the end of Black Diamond. That's Beck's Bolero. You know,
wow, right
when coming, you know, I'm like right away when I heard it the first time, I'm like, God dang, this sounds familiar. And then I realized it was Beck's Bolero because I'd heard it before because my brother had the record.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That was just an observation I had off of seeing this, you know. If you don't care about JoJo, don't pay attention, don't go look. But listen, it's easy. Just Google JoJo Siwa, you'll find a whole bunch of photos and video of her at the iHeart Music Awards. Yeah. I think it's just pretty. I think it's pretty freaking cool.
And if I you mean, have any young kids, turn them on to her.
Yeah, show them to your young, especially your young daughter. Show them to your young daughter, and they may that might be the way you can introduce Kiss, and go, hey, look at what she's doing, but look at Kiss. Look at this guy over here. It's just, it's very much like him. You know, it's, I don't know. It was, it's just one of those things, but I think you're right. You know, as all of us get older, some of us do it more than others. Just keep in mind, don't become the adult in the 70s who is criticizing the new young band out of New York City that put makeup on. I mean, that's what you sound like today when you criticize, whether it's JoJo Siwa or any other band out there that's doing something different that you might think is a full ripoff or is crazy or not cool. It's just like, yeah, you know, you're the adult from the 70s. Don't right. be that. Don't be that.
Encourage, inspire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the evolution of music. All right, so let's spend a little bit of time here. Let's go through a box of Kiss crap that I found in the garage again. See what I got in here. I don't know how many of these Kiss Alive action figure sets I've got, but here's more of them.
There's too many.
Mint in package. There's a Gene Simmons one. These
are
the open,
ones.
These are opened up, and I think they might be open because when I was working with them, I can't remember what entertainment TV show did a mini feature on Kiss. They needed some action figures, so I sent them my set. They sent them back to me, but I think they opened them up to take them out to show them on a TV program or something like that.
Probably.
Here. This isn't going to ever get blown up. This is the Spencer's blow up Kiss chair.
You should blow it up.
Oh God, no! I'd freaking you want to walk you yeah you want to have a live on the show heart attack pass
that
out.
That would be Mark, but he'd refuse to blow it up. Yeah, just because.
Exactly. It would still be in the box.
You can't take the wrinkles
really.
Out of it.
I at one point in time, I did blow it up, and I used it as living room furniture.
Nice.
Clearly, I was single at the time.
Yeah, because that shit wouldn't fly.
No. Any guy who's married or even seriously trying to date somebody, you're not getting too far with a blow-up Kiss chair in your living room.
I would put it all the way, guys. Even if you have to rent furniture to impress her.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a blow-up Kiss chair in there.
This is why Izzy is infinitely single. You know, just look at his apartment.
I know.
It's like he's arrested development at age 14.
Yeah, exactly. I look at some of my old photos when I first started working with Kiss and moved out here, and it's like, oh my God, why would anybody want to come to my apartment? It was apartment just Kiss stuff everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, that's a turn off. Sorry.
Like a 3-year-old virgin.
Exactly. I mean, and if that's you as a listener, I don't mean to insult you, but put it in the basement like Mark does.
We're concerned about you. We want you to get laid.
We want you to get laid. Here's my box for my Kiss lava lamp, which is... Here, let's get the box out of the way. There's the lava lamp is right there. This is the box it came in.
It's classic.
First edition, collector's edition, lava lamp. Signature Superstars, 1999. Spencer's Gifts. So, yeah, that I like that. That was pretty cool. Oh, crap. Oh, I'm looking... I don't, you know, mix up a lot of shit. Here's a book, Looking Good in Print. How to Produce Attractive, Effective Newsletters, Ads, Brochures, A Guide to Basic Design for Desktop Publishing.
Hmm. Interesting.
This book
like
would
have been in the 90s.
Let's see. What is the 1990? Yeah,
there
I can
go.
Throw that away. Throw that away. Here you go. Newsletters for the desktop. And I've actually got stuff. Got tags in here and bookmark. I was probably going through this 1990.
You're always willing to learn.
It was clearly before I did Kiss Otaku. So maybe, I don't know why I would have saved that stuff.
Well, maybe you were working on a resume or something.
Codes, Ciphers, and Computers, an Introduction to Information Security. This is from 1982.
That was back before they had Windows, people. So you had to understand code, and was it dot something or other?
How to be a successful internet consultant.
Boom. Obviously, that works.
This is from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
See, funny, this is what reading will do for you.
What's on in cyberspace? Find out in NetGuide, your map to services, information, and entertainment on the electronic highway. So I kid you not, everybody. This is a book that lists websites. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if there's anything KISS listed in here. KISS 236. Now, let me let's also find out what year did this come out. This was 1994. All right. I launched my first website in 1995. That's about the time the internet opened up for pure public use.
Mm-hmm. I my first Apple computer in 96, I think. 95, 96, something like that.
Oh, this is funny. So the page it refers me to for KISS, it's not actually for the band KISS. It's Sex, Lifestyles, Leisure, and Travel. Oh, my God. Where's Mark when we need him?
I know. I was just going to say the wrong person got that one.
Swimsuit models, supermodel pictures, alt dot supermodels, alt binary, alt dot binaries dot pictures dot supermodels. Rusty and Eddie's, a big board with a reputation, includes in a huge adult library and regularly contributing authors.
Is Mark listed as one of the writers?
The Lombada Zone. A BBS adult information and entertainment system featuring a huge selection of graphics. A hard drive, an exclusively adult board with more than 45 adult message conferences. CompuErotica, classified BBS. Chuck and Ginger's board. Oh, Mark and Liz's board. No. Please, do you think Mark had any idea how to set up a bulletin board system back in 1994?
He still can't get on the internet, but we watched it for 40 minutes today. This
but
book
anyway,
no
anyway, listen, I mean, I won't put it up too close, but there's pages of where to go find nude photos on the internet.
Mark, I think Mark just looked on the in the back of like City Pages magazine.
Mark took the Sunday ads from Sears magazine and looked at the bra ads.
That and he as a kid, he had the largest National Geographic collection in the whole state.
Yeah. Crypto analysis for microcomputers. with basic programs to make and break coded messages and puzzles. And this would have been in 1982. All right, here's some KISS stuff at the bottom. VHS tapes. Okay, interesting. Oh, here is a Kodak 8mm video cassette. So this is not 8mm like the old 8mm, but it's a video cassette.
Yeah.
This is from the Concrete Forum when Gene Simmons gave the keynote address.
Now, see, that would be
good. I videotaped it, and I remember back then I had gotten an email from Gene saying, could I make him a copy of this? And I did.
Mm-hmm. We should transfer that and put it up for the listeners.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting.
Here's a Detroit Rock City VHS, promotional use only. Here is a Rock and Roll Meltdown video compilation from Polygram Records.
I remember that.
With Zodiac, Mind Warp, Yngwie, Scorpions, Warlock, Cinderella, Deep Purple, KISS, the European version of Reason to Live, LA Guns, Kingdom Come, and Wild in the Streets by Bon Jovi. This would have been 88. And here are two white label VHS tapes, promotional of the KISS Second Coming home video.
And so that's what, for those of you that may not know this, when they were doing promos, that's what that stuff looked like. If they had like a VHS release coming out, you'd get that if you were someone who was reviewing things.
Think of this as like an advance cassette tape for a new album. This was an advance video of the upcoming Second Coming home video.
Which I still love.
Shannon Tweed's Playboy Centerfold video, all VHS tapes.
There you go.
Here is a Rock Video Monthly.
I remember that.
This only has Dream Theater and Pantera on it. I don't need to keep that for anything. Set that off to the side. Reality Check. This is a local video show here in San Francisco, 91, The Best of Them, Volume 1. Here, The Elder Musical, Athens High School, November 1996. This was either purchased from you, maybe Mark, was clearly purchased from somebody at a
I've never even show. Seen that before.
It's when a high school put on The Elder as a high school play.
Dude, you should have that converted as well.
I got to look. It might already be up online.
Okay.
Here is VHS of KISS Unplugged with a little merch insert in there. This is probably just a normal retail version, nothing special. Kiss My Ass, VHS. Kiss Exposed, VHS. Oh, God, that was so... When Kiss Exposed came out, wasn't that the greatest thing at the time?
Mm-hmm.
It was our first look at so much classic stuff. Oh, we won't mention who's behind this, but here's Inside the Casbah, The History of Casablanca Records and Filmworks, featuring Angel, Kiss, Parliament, and the Village People. A rock steady production.
That's Dead Guy.
Yeah. 1994. Here. KISS Meets the Phantom of the Park. Out of print. I don't know. This is Good Times Video. So this was an original VHS release of KISS Meets the Phantom when it was first released on
VHS. That's what I had.
I don't know if that's what I paid for it, but it's stickered at Amoeba Records for $59.95. might have bought it for that, because back then that was the only way to get it unless you got a bootleg recording of it at a KISS convention. Here's a VHS tape of the KISS Chicago Expo, 1997. Here is a VHS of Runaway on RCA Columbia Pictures Home Video, probably the original release of it. Here is VHS of Red Surf, starring George Clooney and Gene Simmons. Gene was in it for like 1 second, I think.
Yeah, it was really short.
Kiss Extreme close-up VHS. All right, what else? We got more VHS. Here we go with Kiss Psycho Circus 3D video. This has, I think, all the other extras are not in it. It came with a glasses, a version, a collector's CD. Collector's CDs Enhanced includes a free KISS screensaver. Connect to KISS Online, the new internet service provider, the ultimate connection to the KISS world and beyond. I actually recently shared a video of the audio track of Gene, I think it was Gene, Paul, and Peter promoting the copy for that. Here's KISS Confidential, VHS, KISS Crazy Nights, 3-song VHS. Here's another Rock Video Monthly, but this one does include Kiss I Love It Loud from Alive 3. Let's see here. Turn Up the Volume number 5 with Kiss in it, Ugly Kid Joe, Lita Ford, Hardline, and King's X. Oh, this one's autographed. Eric Singer of KISS, All Access to Drumming. It was a drumming video that Eric released back in, is there a year on this? 1996, autographed. Fraley's Comet, Live Plus 4 VHS.
Yep.
Oh. Check out this classic. Kiss Animalize Live Uncensored on Music Vision, VHS, Hi-Fi Stereo. This is the original VHS release of this. I'm guessing back then, it's probably like $80. I mean, when VHSs were out and being sold, they were not being sold for cheap. Back in the day.
Yeah, and that's why so many people would rent them and then they would just make copies. And you could get one of those Macro Busters. See, they always try to encrypt the videotape so that it looked like if you came across a porn channel on cable that you didn't get. They try to do that. So that, of course, the minute they came out with that, someone came out with something that was Macro Buster. It was a box about yay big, and you just literally plugged your video out of one into the box, out of the box into the second video recorder, and you could make a copy of any of that stuff.
Here is KISS 1997 press conference, Sydney, Australia. I have no idea if this is a bootleg, if this was some kind of promotional thing from KISS, because there's no other marks or indications on it. Here is Hard and Heavy. Loved these when they were back in the day. Mm-hmm. This features Kiss in that crazy makeup they did for Rise to It. Here's Turn Up the Volume 3, featuring Kiss in the Rock Vault. More Kiss. Here is a 1998 Indie Kiss Fan Expo, Bruce and Eric Q&A, the band Union doing an acoustic performance, plus an electronic jam, 1998. All right, and we got four more tapes down here. Okay, this I need to figure out what's on it. It's labeled Charleston, South Carolina, October 7th, 2000. Last
the last Kiss show with Peter.
It's the last show of the original four.
Yeah.
It's a very short tape. It's like a 30-minute tape. I have no idea what's on this.
You should check it out.
It wouldn't be the full show. Well, I got to find out if I even still have a VCR.
But here's the thing, though. If you see any of that stuff that you want transferred, let me know. Just send it to me because I've got the VCR. I've got everything to transfer to digital.
Good. We'll work on that.
Because I think some of this stuff would be fun to share with the fans.
Yeah, obviously, especially if, release, I mean, again, some of it where I don't know what it is. It might be blah, but who knows? Here's Metalhead. Video magazine. That. Again,
and that's another thing that was really popular for a while is that when these metal magazines were doing very well, some of them decided to start a video arm like that and would put out a monthly videotape.
Yep. It's just the only thing it says on it is indie otaku. I have no idea what's on this. Probably something from an indie expo. Eric Carr, Tale of the Fox VHS. This is from 1999. So that's all that's in this box. I know I've got at least one more large box filled with VHS tapes. A lot of them are definitely bootleg tapes that I've either got from you or Mark at various conventions, you know, all the TV clips from the Elder era, all the TV clips from the Creatures era, mm-hmm. you know, the
but
Kiss
the
Vision tape.
Right. But the interesting thing to me is when you see something that says Otaku Indianapolis or something like that, that's the intriguing stuff. Cause there's things that have just been forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, was it a tape somebody made to give to Otaku at the Indie Expo? Was it something I did at the Indie Expo?
I'm curious about the South Carolina piece, too.
Yeah. And why that South Carolina? It's only a 30-minute tape. So what could that be? Is it maybe just a videotape of the end of the show or Peter destroys his drum kit and stuff?
Could be.
I don't know. I mean, and a lot of these stuff like that, I mean, I haven't looked at these in 25 years.
Yeah.
Obviously stuff like this and like the animal, I know what these are. These were commercial.
Yeah.
There's well documented descriptions on them. I'm keeping those just because of what they are. But, you know, these, you know, Tommy, you buy these bootleg tapes at record shows or Kiss conventions. The descriptions were often very lacking.
Well, and there was this couple in Chicago, and they're not from Chicago, but they used to come to the record show every time. And the both of them looked like they'd been living in a van down by the river. And they sold all kinds of stuff, but they sold a lot of videos, bootleg videos, and they would put video footage of them having sex in the middle of a lot of these videos. So you're halfway through an Aerosmith show, and then the next thing you know, you're in a Motel 6 with a bunch of swingers in Indianapolis.
Oh,
so you
God.
Just never know what the hell's going to be on some of these videotapes.
Do you ever see Mark on one of them?
No, but I'm surprised by that. Of course, he could have been wearing Kiss makeup, so we're not really sure.
Exactly. You know what? Do we want to digitize Inside the Casbah and put that up on YouTube?
Yeah, of course we could. That would be funny.
I'm guessing we'd get a takedown order for that.
Well, I'm sure we would. It'd be worth it, though.
Yeah. I mean,
And that
I
thing is not that thing's not legit anyways, so.
do you I mean, do you remember at the Minneapolis official convention when he stood up and asked Jean and Paul a question about that?
Vaguely.
He stood up and asked him about it, and I think Jean and Paul quietly danced around the topic, shall we say.
Well, yes, and hadn't put two and two together at that point.
No, I don't think they really knew. They might have known him by name, but I don't know if they ever knew what he looked like.
No.
So there you go. That's inside my another box of Kiss crap. Interesting what you find in this stuff. Like, I didn't have no idea I still had all these computer books on
Well, that was
how to
kind of
create a
interesting
news,
too.
how to create a newsletter through desktop publishing.
Back in the day, that was a really important thing to be able to learn how to do.
You had to buy a book to learn how to do it.
Yeah, because there's no classes, there's no teachers, So hopefully this was interesting for you guys, for those the 5 of you or 12 of you that are still listening. Yeah.
Homework for this week. I don't know anything about any of the videos I showed you. Do you have them? Do you remember them?
Also, you know what would be kind of cool is if any of you guys at home, and this ha please don't do it as a setup, but if you have legitimately a box full of KISS stuff that you haven't looked at in a long time, videotape yourself opening it up and sharing it. We'll share it on our page.
I mean, because somebody might go, oh, I know what's on that tape. Or, I mean, again, if you know what's on some of the tapes that I showed that I don't know, let us know.
Yeah, because we'll share it. And I'm curious to see it as well. So, but like I said, don't make it up. It has to be where you literally have had it in a box for years and haven't looked at it. Because that's the interesting piece of it. Because you never know what's going to be in there.
I mean, it's fun. I mean, I'm getting down, other than my dozen or so boxes of t-shirts, I think I might have two, maybe three more moving boxes of KISS stuff. And I know one of them is nothing but VHS tapes, that I'm getting this close to throwing them all out, because the majority of those VHS tapes have all been long since digitized and put up on YouTube. So why the hell do I need to lug around, those heavy
But you want
tapes?
to check it, like you said beforehand, just to make sure before you toss it that it is represented somewhere.
Because I did. I mean, when I was with KISS, I would get some early promotional VHS tapes sent to me, marketing reels, stuff like that. And I think I still have some of them. I know Alex was like, do you have the marketing tape for the KISS Prowler, the Psycho Circus Prowler car that they released? I'm like, I have a vague memory of seeing a VHS tape that was a marketing reel for the Prowler. I don't know if I still have it. I don't know if I digitized it and got rid of it. I don't know.
That's totally the kind of thing I could see Alex asking about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was like, if you find it, let me know. And
Yeah,
I'm
he
like,
goes into the weeds on this shit and
I will, because again, like I said, I'd get early marketing reel, promotional tapes, commercials, whatever it might be, and I would keep a lot of it. So there you go. That was this week's box of KISS crap. And listen, other homework, I mean, related to what we started the show with, you've got feelings on KISS fans as they get older, becoming parents from the 70s, dissing other bands for being creative and different and crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, that too. I'd
What's
love
your
to hear
feeling?
what you have to think. I'm curious.
All right, that's it. Three sides of the coin. We're out of here. I'm not here next week because it's spring break and we're taking Thule down to Santa Cruz for the week. So it's just going to be the other Weisenheimers, and God knows what you're going to get.
No,
Don't
actually,
blame me.
I've got a really great idea that I'm trying to pull together that I think that the fans will like. So we'll see.
Whatever you want to do, it's your show.
Okay.
You talk about garbage the whole hour if you want.
But I wouldn't do that to people, although I have been buying a lot of CDs and records. And this is one I'd forgotten about for those of you. The Cinderella Slow Climbing is such a good record, but it just kind of got lost. And this is the one that our friend, you know, Larry Mazur was a part of, because he was managing them at the time, and was talking about how they opted to do a different cover with no picture of the band in it because the music industry was shifting so quickly. You know? Yeah. So there you go. I can talk about things like that, but I won't bore people with garbage, even though they are awesome. You know.
And guess what? Other than what I'm about to say, no Aerosmith talk this week.
Were we supposed to talk about Aerosmith this week?
No, we've got one listener who pays attention to every episode and marks where in the show starts talking about Aerosmith, because he pretty much goes through every episode and has to talk about Aerosmith at some point in time.
Does he really?
Yeah, I guess if you really pay attention, Mark brings up Aerosmith almost every single episode. Well,
there's my mistake, because see, I'm not listening. I'm not paying attention.
You don't pay attention to him.
So, yeah, this is news.
I do have to pay attention. I got to keep the show moving forward on the rails.
Mm-hmm. But that's your job, not mine.
Yep, exactly. That's why you can sit back and put your feet up and not pay attention to our guests.
Well, I do pay attention to our guests. It's when it's just Mark rambling on. It's like verbal diarrhea about stuff I just don't care about.
Yep. You know? All right, guys, three sides of the coin. We're out of here. See everybody next week.
Later, dudes.
Do you have something to say? Leave a voicemail or send us a text message. Call 320-515. Voices for Three Sides of the Coin. Provided by LarryDavisVoice.com. And by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.